Japan music there from Kei Yoshimatsu, who again goes under various different names. And we heard a piece called Curios 2, Curios number 2, from a collection or one volume of his collected works. It's called Zentai, the Collected Works of Kei Yoshimatsu, volume 3. And that brings us to this next track. I guess since I played one Yes member on the show, I might as well play another. I'm not going to play another one of the Yes solo albums, but I'm going to play a group called Main Horse. I think I've played them on the show before, long ago, so it's statute of limitations is up. I can play them again tonight. Main Horse was an early 70s group, a Swiss group, Switzerland-based group, that featured Patrick Moraz, who joined Yes just a few short consequential years later as a keyboard player, replaced Rick Wakeman. Patrick Moraz, we're going to hear not Patrick Moraz, who of course did one of those Yes solo albums, but again the band Main Horse, and we're going to hear a track from the self-titled album that they released in 1971. This will be a track called Basia from Main Horse. We'll be right back. miscalculated as usual. I'm going to have to talk over this piece because I'm running out of time. In the background, Main Horse featuring Patrick Moraz. I need to tell you very quickly that you're tuned to listener-supported WFMU in East Orange. That's right, WMFU in Mount Hope, New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. On the internet at WFMU.org. Thank you very much for listening. Have a fantastic week. And you are in exactly the right place because here comes Amanda.
Out here in the field.
A call you've never heard before, a coon call. This call is especially designed to call raccoons, and it'll call them to you just like a fox call will call foxes. Okay, Murray, you try. And now put the call to your lips and blow while fluttering your tongue, and you get this. The main idea is to get a flutter in the sun.
I'll be
in the sun.
Sun.
Corano. Corano. Come here.
Come here. She's always got a mind of her own.
From the water's edge. When you start your calling, cup your hands over the end of the call to make the sound carry farther, like this. our tone of calling. As long as the coon is coming, keep calling until he's as close as you want him. Call as continuously as you can. Raise a ruckus on the call. Makes the varmint come much faster. Keep your headlight on all the time while calling, unless you want to get him in your lap. It's very important to keep the bright beam or spot of the light high so that only the dim outer circle of the light strikes the ground. You can easily see eyes coming in with the dim part of the light. On moonlight nights, simply squat or kneel on the ground with the bright spot high, and you can call them as well as...
but then, come on. No, no.
So, I'll walk right up. I think I hear the phone. I just wanna. So I said to my lawyer, "Sell the
stock." That's the funniest story I ever heard.
Basically, we have another Jack's here.
Oh,
how funny! This is another. Two more Jacks, please.
Hi, everyone. What's going on? This is Out Here in the Field on WFMU. My name is Amanda, and I am going to be playing sound effects and field recordings and found sound until 9 p.m. Usually, when I have a recording that I talk over, I lower the volume. But this time, I have it at full volume. We are listening to a curated piece of orange noise. You have probably heard of white noise before. And you may have also heard of brown noise, which is sort of on the opposite spectrum of white noise. White noise being more high and mid-range frequencies, and brown noise being low frequencies. And brown noise is often compared to the ocean wave sounds, whereas white noise is more often compared to TV static. But there is also a color of noise called pink noise, which blends the two. And orange noise, which I just recently learned about, is a sort of custom shade of pink noise. So it is a combination of low, high, and medium frequencies. Does it sound orange to you? There are all different colors of noise as it happens. And I find it really, really interesting. I learned that violet noise is the type of drone or hum that can lessen the effects of tinnitus. And not everyone has the same frequency of tinnitus who has it, but they say that violet noise alleviates it the most. That's enough about noise. We heard a bunch of things in that first short set. Most recently, a sound effect from Major Records, which you might not know that you've seen this Major Records sound effects disc, but you've seen it. It's in the back, the sort of dusty back shelf of every single record store you've ever been to. And as soon as you come across it, your eyes sort of glaze over and you're like, oh, I don't want that. Well, you've just met somebody who does want records like that. Major Records was out of New York, and they put out lots and lots of production music. Things like samples of Calliope music and church organs and stuff, and a lot of sound effects records. And that that we heard is called Restaurant Background with Laughter. And I presume it's from 1950, question mark. Sometime in the 50s. I looked all over Discogs, and the date on that is unknown. Which I find a little tragic, right? Like, this was a very hard-working record label, and people care about it so little now. Anyway, Restaurant Background with Laughter. Completely staged, I think. This was not an organic restaurant. This was actors who came in to do walla and pretend that they were in a restaurant and say things that sounded like they were having a good time. Before that, we heard Max Hamel with Side B, or part of Side B, of his piece, Sounds of Summer, Field Recordings of Solar Electronics, which is exactly what it sounds like it is. Made in 2021. Recordings of solar panel apparatuses that he found out made very, very interesting noise. I'm sorry, we weren't supposed to still talk about noise. Interesting sonic output. We heard another sound effects record before that, and that was what seemed to be a real field recording of Evening Rush Hour at Grand Central Station. And I know that that was from 1959 because the people at the Audio Fidelity Company were very proud to demonstrate this new example of stereo technology on this disc. Well, this week, WFMU is engaging in something we call Singles Going Steady Week, where many of the DJs devote their entire shows to 7-inch singles, or 45s, as they're also known. And I didn't want to do that, mainly because I don't have a full hour of 7-inch records of field recordings. More's the pity. But what I do have is some hunting records, including the one that you heard in there, from the Burnham Brothers Company, which manufactured animal calls for hunters to use. We heard coon calling, instructions, and sample calling. And that was a companion to a actual raccoon calling machine. You know, a little handheld thing that I think you blow into. I do not, by the way, advocate hunting unless you have no other source of food, which everyone kind of does, right? But since it was raccoons were mentioned, I thought that we could hear a little bit of Central Park ambiance because there are many, many raccoons in Central Park. They usually keep out of sight, but they're around. And we heard part of a nice piece from the Mortality Tables label, put out in 2023, which was an assignment made to a lot of people, or several people, to each make a field recording of Central Park. And we heard performance number 4, which was recorded by Dave Clarkson in the Ramble of Central Park. All right, next, we're going to go to Sumatra. I recently found out about Kalasan music, which is a musical bus horn type. And they are no longer being made, but people used to play the horn of a truck, like a musical instrument with a keyboard. So let's hear a little bit of what that sounds like. This is WFMU. ¶¶
very exciting form of wildlife calling and is a real challenge to the big game hunter. Now, these common sense hunting practices will aid in the success of your elk calling. Of course, you must be in elk country. And elk country in hunting season is always in the high altitudes, in aspen and spruce country. To get results, elk must be called when they're in the mood to be called. And that's during their mating season, September, October, and early November. Other than these times, the call may be used with partial success for getting one to answer to get his location, but don't expect him to come. You'll have to go to him. Use of an experienced guide is the surest way to bull elk hunting success. Bull elk are large animals, and unless you're extremely lucky, pack horses will be necessary to get your elk out after you bring them down. As with any other game, the best time to dress them out and skin them is immediately after the kill. Game bags should be carried to sack the meat to keep off bird and flies. Another important thing in elk hunting is to use a rifle that has enough killing power to do the job. They're tough to kill, should be shot right behind the shoulder, middle way up if possible. When hard pressed, elk will hide on the northern slopes in spruce and aspen, and will not come out to graze until late afternoon. In different directions. If you don't get an answer, move on to another location. If a bull elk answers your call, give him about 30 minutes to come in before changing your location and give him an occasional call. Now, the remainder of this side will demonstrate the proper use of your brother's elk call. And good luck on your next.
Thank you.
so happy to be in a hot bath right now. Very, very happy. It's getting chilly out there. It's not cold, but it's the season when people underdress. People, meaning myself, and I imagine others too. And so I came home and I was very cold. I looked in the mirror, preparing to step into the bathtub, and my lips were a shade of lavender that they are not normally. So I am enjoying my circulation coming back to my body now. This is Out Here in the Field on WFMU. I'm Amanda, and we just heard Jesse Paul Miller, who released a collection of very, very interesting recordings from Thailand. These are old recordings. They're over a decade old, and the entire album is titled Strawberry Fanta, Drifting Voice Radio from Thailand. And what he has captured is this kind of liminal space between radio stations. I guess when he was traveling in Thailand, he had a good time kind of manipulating the radio dial and finding that a lot of transmissions could be heard, you know, two at a time. And there's a whole album now of all of these. There's a lot, like 20 of these really amazing pieces of sound art that result just in him positioning the dial that way. Very, very good. We heard some elk, some real elk, bugling and chuckling before that. I think all of those were recorded in 2020. I think there's also no way to verify that for sure. If you're an elk in the listening audience, you can get on the playlist at WFMU.org and confirm that this is what you actually sound like, or this is what you sounded like in 2020, 5 years ago. Yeah, let's hope the elk that were alive then are mostly still alive. And yes, we did continue our dance with the hunting records that I mentioned earlier in the show. That was another gem, Elk Calling Instructions from Burnham Brothers. So the second Burnham Brothers effort that we've heard so far tonight. And I think it's nice how a record that some might consider unlistenable, some might consider to have absolutely no value at all, as a piece of listening material, can actually be listenable if it is recontextualized. And I understand that that is, as soon as I said that, I realized that that's debatable, and it is not a fun listen for all of you, but hopefully some, hopefully most. And at the top, we did hear Pak Budahar, as mentioned before. Sinar Riau was the name of that composition, and that was Budahar playing the kalasan, the Sumatran truck horn played like a typewriter. Very, 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 very interesting. And I'd like to thank listener Dave, who goes by Dave Was Here, for tipping me off to that. I think it was last week, because I'm so grateful that I know about it. Well, all right. That's going to be the conclusion of the bathtub segment for tonight. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you will stick around until 9 p.m. and the end of the show. Talk to you later.
That was Bill Dudley blowing a Searcy Jackrabbit model predator call, with which he won both the Arizona and World's Championship varmint calling contests. Bill, would you please explain how you blow your varmint call?
Well, Hugh, I put the end of the call between my thumb and trigger finger and close my hand. Then I blow from down in my chest instead of puffing out my cheeks. Now, as I start blowing and getting sound, I open my hand so that it makes sort of an extension to the call. This throws the scream out and gives it that surprised and terrified effect, like a rabbit that's just been caught by a varmint.
Bill, would you blow your call like that again, please? Bill, would you blow your call like that again, please?
About 2 years. imitated, but he can't be duplicated, 'cause he's got 23 departments for you. Smitty's, Smitty's, Smitty's.
The Sunrise City Shopping Center. City Shopping Center on Maryland Park.
1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing.
Then shop to fill your pantry and check out the pharmacy. If you need a pair of glasses, you won't believe the ones you see. Then when you take it all back home and want to rest your head, stretch out on our furniture or brand new waterbed. Gonna be in for a nice surprise. You gotta get up early to beat what's found at sunrise. You gotta get up early to beat what's found at sunrise.
The Holiday International Casino and Hotel.
To the International, the friendliest casino downtown, and come down to the International.
That was the Jingle Guy. Let's hear it for the Jingle Guy. So yes, here on Out Here in the Field, we devote a little bit of some of the shows to found sound. It's not just field recordings and sound effects. And boy, is that a fantastic example of found sound. Comes from a compilation called Eavesdrop, A Wealth of Found Sound, which came out in 2006, compiled by Jacob Smigel. He collected stuff mainly from around Las Vegas thrift stores. We heard a piece by Yumi Iwaki before that, a sort of collage-y composition that had field recordings in it called Through the Leaves. That's from her 2021 album, Juniper. And we mixed that in with a 1987 Johnny Carson Tonight Show broadcast. Fiona Sinead Breoni came before that with Dancing with the River Dee. And that's from a project done by various sound artists of different field recordings and collages. And I can't pronounce the name of that album. But if you are really, really interested in it, you can email me and I'll give you the link. It just came out this year. We heard another one of our 7-inch Hunting Call records in deference to Singles Going Steady Week here on WFMU. That was the Predator Calling record done by Bill Dudley, announced by Hugh Hunsdon. And right now we are listening to a piece called Autumn Dusk, a Field Recording Soundscape, by Instinct. We're not listening by Instinct. The name of the artist is Instinct. That makes sense? Yes, it does. And we're going to listen to just a little bit more of it before we proceed with the rest of the show. Does that work for you?
distress cries of a crow. Hawk and crow distress cries. Crow and owl fight. Crow and hawk fight. Fighting crows. Screech owls have a very large vocabulary.
it did. I hope it don't fall on me, I said, but it did. Now the sky looked blue, and there's hardly a cloud in the sky.
Can you believe it? That is all we're going to have time for. Thank you for listening to Out Here in the Field this evening. We are going to listen to just a little bit more Kalasan music. That is the Sumatran truck horn music referenced and heard earlier in the show as I talk us out. Very briefly, I want to mention two things. WFMU is still in the midst of its October Hellraiser fundraiser, and we need to raise what we usually raise in October plus the $200,000 that we used to get as a government grant. So if you are inspired by Out Here in the Field and you want to give to this show specifically, you can by using the widget on the top of my playlist page, which is there right now at WFMU.org. Thank you. And if you've already given to my show, thank you so, so much. I really, really appreciate it. Also, November 15th, Jim the Poet and myself will be co-hosting a cat adoption party, as we do every 6 months or so here downstairs at Monty Hall. And Abby from Mars and Evan Funk Davies are going to be DJing, and we are going to have a room full of adoptable cats. So, you know, what could be better than that? November 15th from noon to 4, and there's information on my playlist page about that too. We heard Neil Innes, as we always do. Before that, we heard a recording that I made in Saratoga Park in Brooklyn last month. There was a guy playing a drum, and I thought it sounded really good with the buses passing by, etc., etc. Steve Roden came before that with an excerpt of his piece Earth, and the TH in Earth is parenthetical. Steve Roden passed away, and if you're interested in hearing more of his music, Daniel Blumen, who does the show right after me, did a tribute to him last year. So you can consult Daniel's archives of his program if you want to hear more. Earth was a sound art piece made by translating seismology data from an earthquake into information that was then fed to small robots that played little glockenspiels. And that's what you heard. Did you catch how I almost said who to refer to the robots instead of that? There I go again, anthropomorphizing robots. I couldn't resist it. We heard one more wildlife calling record that was, I think, real wildlife sounds. It didn't sound like they were being imitated. But what do I know? Maybe this guy, Johnny Stewart, is actually an amazing impresario. The record came out in 1979 on his own label, Johnny Stewart Game Calls, and I assume that he was also a manufacturer of these game calls. And we heard Instinct with just a snippet of their piece Autumn Dusk, a field recording soundscape. I'm Amanda. This show has been Out Here in the Field, and I'll be back next week. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Between love, death, and a buttered bun. No doubt you've heard me astrological jabberings in the filthy, low coxcombs from any heathen ports to call, and there be potent truth in the meanderings of distant, vast celestial bodies. By my beard, I've been shot for me planetary wisdom by the most feared man of the sea. Now, I'm not a drinking man, but I'll wet me muzzle in human secretions once more and spin you a tale fit to scrape your cat clean. It begins in a sea always dark and black with shame. There be the place known as Davy Jones Emporium, the deep, scaly destination of men with no friend but cold. Filthy home away from home, 20,000 leagues under uncharted sea, and hard a starboard at the giant octopus's lair. There glows a light amidst the swirling sargassum, and there it be. What is a seaman's dream? Just beep your dagger at the things you can find inside the blasted place. Shipwreck passes. Rope bonds, tattoo knives, mysterious maps, hiding places, cutlasses, cannons, eye patches in left and right styles, saucy parrots, figureheads, splinters, chains, new vibrating belaying pins, obedient native women, bad food, rum, diseases, full new line, fresh, bilge, and sturdy peg legs, hooks, and heads, only slightly water damage. Arr, me do swell at the thought of it all. So always remember, you flap dragons, that the real Sir Robin Bresney, known to such as ye as Red Rob, looks out for ye from bloody far away, over a celestial stormy sea of foam, and when that cursed stiffness comes to ye in the night, grab the fiddler's pay tight and breathe me name, lass. Breathe.